are here with Murdy and Grace, part three on the liver. And today we're going to be discussing many, many issues regarding the liver. And thanks, Meridian, for joining us today.
Oh, gosh, it's my pleasure. It's always such a joy to talk with you.
So what did you want to cover in today's show concerning the liver in part three?
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about, because you asked me a question and I couldn't remember the answer and went looking it up, was about fatty liver disease in people that don't have alcohol issues. So it's a really fascinating piece. I'd like to talk about that. But I'd also like to talk more about energetically working with healing the liver with substances that most of us may not know that much about. They come more from European healing methods that have been around for hundreds of years, and a real deep respect for the quality of the body and the quality of the substances and their connection to nature and moon cycles and all that kind of subtlety.
Wow. So these substances people can take...
Yes, they can take them.
Somehow infused with the cycles of the moon and the sun and the cycles of the earth and all that?
Yes, and different organs, different glands and relationship to planets and things like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Pretty cool stuff.
So what types of things are these then that people may not know about?
Well, the first one is a whole family that I've mentioned a couple of times, and those are called GEMOs. And there's like two different levels of GEMOs. They're made, some people call them both GEMOs, but in one system that I work with, they're called GEMOs and phytos.
Okay.
And GEMO is more like from the idea of germ, the germ of the plant. So it's not like a gem, like a ruby or something like that.
Okay.
Although there are wonderful therapeutic benefits from different stones, and there are elixirs that are made from stones as well, which we might talk about someday, but today I'm not really prepared to do that.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. But in this case, we're talking about like stem cell qualities of a plant, or if it's the sap, so the stem cell would be in the bud.
Okay.
The sap from a young sapling in the beginning of spring would be more like the circulation and the fluids in the body.
Oh, okay.
And and the young shoots would be more like the musculoskeletal part of the system.
Interesting. Okay. So the sap would be more, explain what the sap is again, more like the liquids,
the movement of lymph and blood and fluids in the body.
So that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so what were you saying about the stem cells of the plant, the bud?
The bud, it represents the stem cell. And it's very, very, very cool. It's like... just before the bud opens, the most powerful aspects of the plant have gathered themselves into the bud before it opens into a flower. And just before it flowers, it has the highest stem cell amounts, you know, per like centimeter or whatever, in the tissue of the actual bud itself.
Interesting. So right before it opens the flowers.
Just before it's ready to open.
Wow.
And I don't know how they figured this out, but there are people who are super sensitive. I even have clients who are like this, who can just feel things very easily. Like, I love it when they come in and they'll say, I just feel like I need this. And I'll put the substance on the Asyra and it'll come up as almost a perfect number or perfect number for them.
Oh my goodness. Now, what is the Asyra again?
The Asyra is a device that measures frequencies. It's based on the work of Dr. Fritz Popp.
Okay.
And he spent his life, he's a professor of physics. And his life was spent focusing on how to read the frequency that's specific to any substance, any energy, any form. So like, for instance, a healthy liver would be between a certain number and another number as far as frequencies
go. A frequency range then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they'll check and see what number your liver frequency is.
Okay.
And if it falls within that range, it says everything's cool. But if it's higher than that range, it means it's moving in the inflammatory range. Or if it's lower than that, it means it's in the degenerative range.
So how does someone get a test like this?
Well, I have the system here, and there are numbers of people across the country that have Asyras.
Okay.
But there are similar systems called EAV. It's just Asyra is so beneficial as far as getting so much done in a short period of time.
Okay.
You basically hold two metal cylinders in your hands, mm-hmm. and your frequencies are read through those cylinders. And then the software in the computer, and I can choose any program I want. There's hundreds of programs to choose from, or I can make up my own. And in the software program, it might be checking just for foods, or it might be checking just for allergens, or it might be checking just for parasites, or just for bacteria, fungus, and virus.
Oh.
Or it may be taking a sampling of all those things and asking for just the most important things that come up as out of range affecting your organs. It's really quite amazing.
Wow. So someone would, if they're feeling liver stress, this would be a good test for them to take.
Well, I use it with everyone who, you know, is interested. So they'll come in and we'll just get a basic reading, because oftentimes we'll have a symptom and the cause of it is not apparent.
Okay.
So, you know, somebody may come in and they just go, I can't sleep. I just can't stay awake all night. And typically you would think that, you know, that person is exhausted, or, I mean, that person has too much energy. They're hyper.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes I'll find that they don't have enough energy to support their adrenal glands to have enough energy to fall asleep.
Okay.
So I'll have to give them an adrenal support, an adrenal tonic, and then they're able to go to sleep at night.
Interesting. Okay. And so you can find what differences in terms of the frequency ranges that's going on in specific organs.
Yeah, it helps me to really get in touch with the cause. I mean, it also helps if the person who's using the equipment has some kind of background, if you want to get that kind of information from it.
Okay.
But you could actually use the equipment even if you're not educated, because it will just tell you what frequencies you need. You can easily take a bottle of water with a little alcohol, place it on a certain place on the Asyra,
uh-huh.
and turn the function to giving the information to the water, and it will make you a homeopathic remedy and even tell you how many drops to take, how long you need to potentize it for, and how long to take it for before you need to do another test.
Wow, so it's possible for someone to get one of these machines. They don't even have to be a practitioner?
No, I don't think so. I think you could actually use these very well without having any training to do some just basic work.
Just basic stuff. Okay, are we going to have a resource for people to get one of these, do you think?
Yeah, I've actually talked to you about who to get in touch with about it.
Okay, we'll have that on the site. Awesome, that's so cool.
Yeah, we will. They're pretty darn pricey for something to have at home.
Okay.
But, you know, more and more, it appears to me like we should be saving up our pennies and nickels and dimes to buy things that are supporting us to be in charge of our own health.
I agree.
And so even though this runs about, I think, $13,000,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like people will pay that much in a year or two for insurance.
Or a car or something, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, for those who it makes sense to, especially if big families, learning the basics, and we could easily, you know, do a class on online showing people how to use these in a really safe way for you and your families.
Ooh, we should do that. That would be awesome for people, because I'm all about that. If we can get tools in people's hands and get people sort of reconnected with themselves the way, you know, Dr. Massey talks about, and learning some of the stuff themselves, I mean, my goodness.
It's great. Yeah. It's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Another wow. beautiful thing that the Asyra does is there's a laser available for only $75.
Uh-huh.
that you can place onto the device and download all the frequencies into the laser. And you don't even have to drink something. You could literally just treat yourself with light.
Wow.
It's like we're stepping into, you know, another century or something, into the future of recognizing, like we already do in new physics, that we're actually made of light. So treating with light frequencies is profound.
Wow. So you can get the laser attachment? Is that what it is?
No, it's a separate little laser.
Okay.
And you just place it. It's a special one, though. It's a green laser.
Oh.
And you just lay it on the imprinting plate, and it'll imprint the information into the laser. You treat someone with the laser, and then you check and see if it was enough, if they need to be treated again. And you can even test to see if they need to be treated one, two, or three times, or if once is enough.
Wow, that is so cool. Okay, so if someone's listening to this and they think, okay, $13,000, that's too much for me, but I want to go find a practitioner and I'm not in the area, would they need to come see you, or could they find someone in their area, or how does that work?
Well, they could come see me. Recently, Asyra was bought out, but it's the exact same device by another company. So I'll get all that data and I'll give it to you so you can put it on the website.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Because yeah, I'm just trying to think of people. You know, some people can afford it, some people can't, and then some people are near you and some people aren't. So,
well, there are definitely lists of practitioners, you know, from the site.
Okay.
And so you can find out who are trained people, and many of them are doctors and naturopaths and chiropractors and things like that, DOs, are working with this.
Okay.
And have developed amazing systems. I mean, my first introduction to it was working with Dr. Lee Cowden and his specific protocols using for Lyme disease. And he had built a whole special software program to go into the Asyra. And there's a number of doctors who have done that, which is why I'm saying, you know, as a doctor, my God, there's so much we can do with this. It's just way too complex for the average person to get into all that mm-hmm. level of complexity.
But with basic things they can do, it could be super powerful still.
Yeah, you can even, you know, if, like, you know you have a parasite, you can put in parasite, come up with the treatment that's best for that specific parasite and for your specific body. I mean, it's really fun that way.
Wow, okay. So you could come up, so it would give you a treatment for, let's say it was parasites. So it would give you, what kind of a treatment would be an example of what it would give you?
Well, it'll give you, first of all, a list of things that are beneficial for you.
Okay.
And I can teach people how to read the basic potencies. Anything that shows up as an X or a V potency, which I don't want to get into right now,
okay,
but those would be more physical, meaning that your body actually could benefit by having them physically.
Okay.
So it might say, for instance, you know, to use some clove. Well, if it's an X potency, it means that you would benefit by having it physically. But if it's an LM or an MM, you don't need the physical one, just the energetic is fine. So making yourself a remedy of it would be all you need to do.
Interesting. Okay, so going back to what you're, I feel like you were about ready to say something on about the bud of the plant, about there being all this energy in the bud before it flowers.
Right. So that is our stem cell energy.
Stem cell. Okay.
And, you know, that information, we can recognize the autonomic nervous system of the body can recognize as an almost direction to follow the imperative of a stem cell in a plant whose job it is to do whatever that plant does.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, one of the primary liver herbs is milk thistle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we had a gemo that was made from the bud before it opens of the milk thistle plant, just before the thistle opens, then that would be an imperative from the plant telling you to create the new life in yourself that works with cleansing and supporting and healing the liver.
Okay. So this is orders of magnitude beyond going to the health food store and getting milk thistle as a tincture or a capsule, right?
That's right.
Okay. So if someone were to go, what form does the gemo come in for people?
They're so interesting. There's gemos that are more that are less concentrated.
Okay.
And they're all liquids, whether they're regular Gemo or a phytogen.
Okay.
And the liquids are usually quarter, half teaspoon, even as much as full teaspoon doses.
Okay.
And they taste like a liqueur of the tree or the plant that it comes from.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, so someone would have some sort of protocol that they would follow, take X amount, three times a day kind of thing.
Or two times a day. Okay. Or if you're having a real acute situation, like one of my clients recently had a heart attack, and I told her, well, there's a protocol where you use two different gemotherapies and arnica, and you take it every 5 to 15 minutes on the way to the hospital, and you probably won't need any hospital support, and the heart attack will be over, and the body will be fine before you get there.
Oh my goodness. Wow. It's that powerful.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where can people get these things?
Well, you typically at this point still need a practitioner to get them.
Okay. Okay.
But we can talk about ways that we might be able to set it up where people can just kind of order them through us, through the website. We'll figure out if we can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should do that because these sound like they're amazing. I've never taken them myself, but they sound pretty amazing.
They are amazing. Mm. And, we could actually do a whole series on looking at all of the different gemos one by one, what they're good for, so that people can know about that and have that kind of data available for them on the website, so that they can find out that information. And
would there be any gemos that people would take on a sort of a preventive sort of health maintenance level?
Absolutely. There are so many. Like, for instance, this young woman who I was talking to, I suggested that every day she takes some form of Crataegus, which is hawthorn.
Okay.
And there is a gemo and a phytogen of Crataegus. There's also a homeopathic form of Crataegus. And you can also just buy hawthorn berries, which is Crataegus, and put that in your tea. So we are talking about mixing it up and different days using different forms. So our different months using different forms so that the body doesn't get too used to one and take it for granted.
I see. Okay, so you can actually take the same substance in different ways and then in different forms and then spread them out and sort of cycle on and off.
Right.
So
then there are many different gemotherapies that all have different effects on different aspects of circulation of the blood for the heart or the actual heart itself or the arteries or the veins. So there's specific ones that have specific qualities that are beneficial for those different parts of the heart.
Okay.
So depending upon what your issue is, you would perhaps choose to use Crataegus and then, let's say, ulnus incana, which would be for a blocked artery.
Okay.
And then you'd go back to Crataegus, and then maybe you might use ulnus glutinosa, which is gentler for the arteries and something that could be used on a long-term basis. And just go back and forth between these different remedies, but always going back to Crataegus.
Interesting. So now what is the difference between the gemo and homeopathy? Because they sound, in terms of energy and frequency, they sound the same. Is it just that homeopathics are so diluted, there's no physical substance left?
Well, it's more than that.
Okay.
That's one of the big things, is it's so diluted that there's no physical substance left. But a homeopathic remedy works very, very profoundly on emotional levels.
Okay.
And they do work, I think, more deeply.
Okay.
So, this is more, when you talk about a gemo, you're taking a physical substance that has both energetic qualities and physical qualities.
Okay, okay.
When you take a homeopathic remedy, we're going in through frequency. We're going in through matching frequency, similimum, similars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key word there. And so we're actually speaking directly to the autonomic nervous system. Like yesterday, I had a young woman come into the office and she was experiencing kidney pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked through the Materia Medica. It looked like Berberis would be a good match without spending a couple of hours repetitorizing her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, just try it. And I gave her a dose of Berberis. And within probably 20 seconds, she said, oh, my God, Meridian, I know I'm susceptible to ideas, but there is no discomfort in my kidney right now.
Now, you gave her the homeopathic or the Gemo?
The homeopathic. The Gemo would never work that fast.
It wouldn't work that because of the physical aspect of it, too.
Right.
Okay. Wow. So homeopathics, it's like your body just eats up that frequency, right? Or the organ does because it's vibrating at the same level, right? And it just sucks it right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's very young. So, you know, her body just... The life force, the amount of life force you have has a lot to do with how fast and how deeply you can work with a remedy. So, I mean, she just took it right in.
Wow. That's amazing.
Go ahead.
No, that's just amazing.
It was really fun. And, you know, we did some deep emotional work. We were doing some recall healing and we found a piece for her about an issue. And we used the Ho'oponopono. Letting go process,
uh-huh.
Where I'm not going to tell you what her issue was because it was very private, but
okay.
The idea is whatever it is in me that has contributed in any way to the experience of, and then whatever that experience is for you that you get in touch with,
mm-hmm.
I am so sorry. I never meant for this to cause harm. You know, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
So that's working at a deeper level too.
It was amazing because she immediately went into what we call a hammer focus. So a hammer focus in recall healing is when the healing is happening and the place in the brain activates and swells. She got an immediate headache in one small spot in her head where she's never had a headache before.
Uh-huh.
So I went and grabbed some ice, brought out a vessel to put her feet in. We put hot water with Epsom salts, and the swelling went down, and it took about 20 minutes, and the focus was over.
Wow.
So we actually got to see at that point how the emotional awareness... We're working with the autonomic nervous system now.
Mm-hmm.
We had used it homeopathically first. Then we spoke to the autonomic nervous system through the autonomic brain and the recall healing.
Wow. And she just saw immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
It was amazing.
That
just
is just
amazing.
That is so amazing. That's so cool. So she was there for how long?
Almost 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, she drove a very long distance. So mm-hmm. We did nutritional work. We did homeopathic work. We did recall healing work.
Wow.
And we did a little bit of a Syra work as well.
Wow.
So it took a while, but it was quite an experience together. And she shared so much of her life history with me as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So homeopathics is really, really, a lot of people... You know, I've heard people poo-poo it, and some people think it's amazing. I just think it's amazing because of the energetics of it.
You know, Justin, I'm not surprised that a lot of people poo-poo it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a woman who came to see me today always had poo-pooed it before because her way of doing homeopathics was going to the health food store and buying something that said, you know, like, asthma remedy
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And those are all very low potency remedies. They put together like 10 or 15 and they're trying to do a hit or miss kind of a thing.
Right.
So, and I do use those kind of remedies also in a different way. I use those to talk to the organ and have a communication with the organ about an organ issue.
Okay.
I don't mind using those that way, but those are not a fine-tuned, specific homeopathic remedy for the person and the situation themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, because you want something that's going to work for you. And those things are really just sort of mass-produced, right?
Well, they're mass-produced, but they're still produced homeopathically. For the most part, they're produced properly.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to put them down. They have a place. You know, and a lot of people do get benefit from them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do a similimum of the exact situation that's going on right now or the person, and one of my recent trainings was about using homeopathics not for the whole person, but for the organ.
Okay.
So to have a communication with the, for instance, the liver, which mm-hmm. is what we're talking about now. So I could give somebody a homeopathic remedy of liver itself.
Now, how does that work?
So you start out with one part of liver and you make that into like a liver juice. You mash it into juice. So you take a drop of liver juice and you add that to, let's say you're going to do a C potency.
Okay.
So you would add 99 parts of water because the C means 100.
Okay.
If it was an X potency, we would use 9 drops because X is 10.
Okay.
So let's say we're doing the 100. So you're adding 99 drops of water and you tap that 100 times and that makes a 1C of liver.
Okay.
To make a 2C, we'll take one drop from that first potion, put it into a separate bottle, and then add another 99 drops of water. So it's only one drop from the first bottle and the second bottle.
Okay.
And we tap that 100 times, and that makes a 2C.
Okay.
And then we'll take one drop from the 2C bottle, put that in a third bottle, add 99 drops of water, and tap that 100 times, and that makes a 3C.
And so how far can you go with that?
Well, most of the remedies, but I don't do this with organs. I do this with other types of remedies.
Okay.
Most of the ones I do are 50,000 Cs.
50,000?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So who? That's amazing. Okay,
so we have to use equipment to do that, obviously.
Right, right.
Otherwise, it would take me 2 months to make a remedy for somebody sitting there tapping them all day long.
I know, right?
So I'm not going to do that. And they didn't, you know, they weren't able to do that like when they first discovered making homeopathic remedies.
Uh-huh.
But once they figured out how to do LMs, which was the last 25 years of Hanuman's life, he found that they were some of the most powerful remedies he'd ever worked with, kind of like going into hyperspace mm-hmm. frequency-wise, working on subtle, subtle levels.
So as you continue to dilute, you're removing more and more of the physical structure in the homeopathic. And it's so interesting. As you continue to dilute it, the stronger it gets.
That's right. It's really, but it's stronger, but deeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because when you get into the LM levels, you can do chronic work with it. You can do acute work with it. But the thing that's so wonderful about it is very rarely will anyone ever have what's called an aggravation from it.
Mm.
So they're very gentle. And a lot of homeopaths didn't like it because in the beginning, they found that they could tell whether a remedy was working or not because the person would get worse first.
Okay.
And that way they knew that they were being activated. Kind of like that Herx that we just had happen mm-hmm. for my client yesterday when her head, you know, had experienced a swelling. So that way I knew, my goodness, you know, we hit the nail on the head for the right information for the recall healing. Because
mm-hmm.
she had a direct reaction. So that we don't have that anymore in homeopathy when we jump to the LM level. And you almost have to take notes and remind the client when they come back in. They'll say, I feel great. It's wonderful. Nothing's going on. You know, nothing that you did helped me.
Right, right.
It's like, well, what about those headaches that you were talking about and the diarrhea that you had?
Yeah.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, here's this note, you know, where you wow. said da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's so interesting, isn't it? They just forget because they've been, they've turned everything around.
Yeah, we all do. And that was actually Hanuman's intention, was to have something work so deeply and so gently that the person doesn't even realize it's happening.
So how long would someone, if someone wanted to take homeopathics for their liver,
mm-hmm.
How long would they typically be on a protocol? Or?
So, Justin, it really, it's always individualized. And some people might need to do something for a year or two. Let's say they had a really sclerotic liver.
Okay.
You know, and they were told that they weren't going to live long. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that could take a few years.
Okay.
If we can actually incite the life force to respond.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a lot of different things we want to do to support that.
Interesting. And,
yeah.
So some of those 50, what do you call those 50? LM?
50,000 Cs, the LM remedies.
Yeah. So those types of homeopathics, are those also only available through practitioners?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes you kind of need to go, well, no, there's a couple of companies here. I get a lot of mine from England.
Okay.
But they are also available in certain pharmacies. I think maybe the Hanuman Pharmacy in California and the Bay Area has them. But the thing about LMs is they need to be prepared in a very special way. So for I'll tell you what it is. I mean, it's no big secret, uh-huh. but you can't just take them in pellet form like you would take another remedy.
Okay.
You take one tiny pellet the size of a mustard seed, mm-hmm. and you put that into a 4-ounce bottle. And in that bottle, you put 15 drops of alcohol. I use potato vodka.
Okay.
And then you fill the rest up with good quality water.
Okay.
And then you tap the whole thing till that little pellet disappears. And that's your LM1 remedy. And when you make it, you take a teaspoon, you tap the bottle 5 times.
Okay.
You take a teaspoon from the bottle, put that into a half a cup of water, and your dose is just 1 teaspoon.
Okay. And so what does the tapping do?
Tapping energizes it and actually changes the frequency every time you tap it so that you're not taking the same remedy ever.
Okay.
Every time you take it, it's a little different. So your body can't get accustomed to it.
Okay. And so if someone were to do this, would they tap a different amounts of times each? Like, let's say they're doing 3 teaspoons a day in the water. Would they tap the water a certain amount of times on the first time, and then second time it would be different? Or how does that work?
Okay, so I'm so glad you're asking me these questions. This is so fun, Justin.
I'm just Thank you. Fascinated by this.
Okay, so I use a little story about the boy who cried wolf to explain this to people.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm going to give you this foundation information, and then we'll apply it to homeopathy. So we're going to let the woodsman stand for the autonomic brain, okay, or the autonomic nervous system, the master controller of our bodies, okay?
Okay.
And woodsmen are doing a gazillion things for us every second. They're making every cell do the things it needs to do to stay alive, getting mm-hmm. rid of toxins, taking in nutrients, breaking itself down when it's too old, making new cells, sending information here, there, and everywhere, drawing this nutrient in. I mean, all the different things that are going on in every second to keep us alive. The autonomic nervous system is in control of that, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you take a homeopathic remedy, it's like having a conversation with the woodsman. And saying, help, help, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in the case of the little boy who cried wolf, he kept saying, I need your help, when there was no wolf there. And so over and over and over again, the woodsmen who were doing really important work were being taken away from their work to come and help the child who's crying wolf.
Okay.
And eventually they just said, what we're doing is more important. We're not going to listen to it any longer.
Okay.
So, that's the rule of working with these LM remedies, and actually almost any remedy, and that's why it's good to have somebody to talk to about this mm-hmm. when you're doing a remedy. So, you only take it when you need it. So, let's say that this young person who came in the other day had some pain in her kidney.
Mm-hmm.
She took the remedy, and it completely went away. So, And even though it wasn't at a 10, let's just say it was a 10 just for, you know, demonstration purposes.
Yeah.
So 0 would be no pain, 10 would be over the top.
Okay.
So this isn't her case, but let's just say she took the remedy and she went down to a 4.
Okay.
Okay. You would not take another dose until it went up to at least a 4.5.
Okay.
Because the woodsmen are doing their work. The autonomic nervous system is doing its work.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to let it do its work and not bother it and show respect for all that it's doing for you until such time as it's needed. And as soon as it's needed, it's happy as can be to help you. Okay. It wants to be of service to you, but it does not want to be taken advantage of.
So the issue, it seems like, in the example of the boy crying wolf, is making our autonomic nervous system do things it shouldn't be doing?
No, it's bringing to its awareness something that it knows we're now aware of, and therefore we can release it.
Okay, okay. Wow.
See, it's kind of like, to me, in so many ways, like recall healing. Because the autonomic body, the biological body is saying, you know, here's this issue. And until you become aware of it, you don't go back in to find out what contributed to it, what caused it.
Okay, okay.
So when you bring to the awareness of the autonomic nervous system that you are aware of it, you give the autonomic nervous system permission to put its focus there. And many times, the emotions that are associated with that remedy are the emotions that are deeply hidden in us. And not only do you get well, just like in recall healing, mm-hmm. but your whole genetic line gets healed.
Now that is what I think is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I've had it so many times when parents will come to me and tell me they took a remedy for, you know, an issue that they've had and their children no longer have that issue.
Isn't that fascinating? Wow. Mm-hmm. So how far up and down the line does it go, up and down?
You know, I can't tell you that for certain because this is not something that's like widely discussed in the whole recall healing world. I mean, in the whole homeopathic world.
Uh-huh.
It's much more discussed in the recall healing world.
Mm-hmm.
But typically in recall healing, we talk about 3 generations back and forward.
Back and forward. That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you can actually, as a parent, heal something that's going on with your child just by working on yourself.
Yes. I mean, that's the most beautiful part when we're working on an energetic level mm-hmm. to do this healing work, is that we're not just affecting ourselves, we're affecting the DNA of our genetic line.
So going a little bit deeper with that, is it possible for someone to have a child that has some sort of, let's say the child does have a liver issue.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're a parent of like maybe, I mean, I guess it would be rare for a child, you know, 4-year-old child or 5-year-old child to have a liver issue, but let's say that's happening. And you're the parent to that child and you feel like your liver is fine. You don't feel your liver. Most people can't feel their organs and you're just kind of running along nicely. If your child has a liver issue, is it possible that that could be reflexing back to you and notifying you of a health condition that you might have?
It definitely can be, you know, and it might make sense for you to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very, very common.
Because I know that Rich has talked about, and you as well, you know, you get people that come and see you and they all have a certain health condition or something. And lo and behold, it's the same thing you're dealing with. You know, it's kind of similar.
Yeah. The resonance is there. I mean, we don't very often recognize how we're part of a village and an extended village and an even more extended village.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, some people use a different term for, like the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all part of that field. And so we tend to attract people to us that are like us.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, sitting across from people, I just like am amazed at their stories. And I can almost bow to them afterwards and say thank you because you're helping my healing process. You are showing me parts of myself that I haven't recognized yet or worked out on yet.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. That's so fascinating. So other people, we did a show on Extreme Health Radio about a dog trainer, and he was talking about the energetics of dogs and things like that. It was really fascinating. And his book is called Your Dog is Your Mirror. And so it's the same kind of concept. You know, your dog's displaying behavior that is indicative of something that you're dealing with. And, I mean, you're talking about the same exact thing.
Yeah. I wish I could remember the ridiculous, silly movie that Rich put on the other day about dogs, a dog show. And it was all these great actors, and they had them looking and acting so much like their dogs. It was just incredible. It was so funny.
That's great.
So it was really matching what you were talking about. But, you know, if we look for those things, we'll see them more and more. And we'll see how messages are coming to us from so many areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just walking out in the backyard and the different birds that'll show up when we look up what their totem is. It's like, oh my God, I needed to hear that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been going on a lot with Kate and myself as well, specifically with owls and birds and things. So it's pretty funny you say that.
Yeah, it's very cool. No surprise. See, there we go.
I know.
Yes,
in the field. So with some of these homeopathics, I would think that they would want to work with you. People would want to work with you because it sounds like these things are very specific and very should be fit to each person.
They really, I mean, if you have a serious health issue, I recommend that you find a really good homeopath that you can, that you trust and that you can work with.
Mm-hmm.
And there are definitely homeopaths who've been at it a lot longer than me, who have, you know, really classical training and have spent their whole life just studying homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been studying homeopathy for 40 years, and I'll probably continue to study it for the rest of my life, but it's one of a gazillion things I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I happen to be taking another course in it right now, and I tend to take a couple a year. But, you know, and I consider myself a fair to middling homeopath.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who do nothing but homeopathy and who have photographic memories, which really helps with homeopathics.
I would imagine, because there's lots of things to remember, especially all those strange words.
Yeah. Softwares help, which I have a great software, but you know, it's also really wonderful to find yourself a homeopath that you feel really good about working with.
So it sounds like if someone's having liver issues, homeopathics could be a way to go. Would it be something, I guess, to start out with before they, let's say they're having really, really, you know, a lot of pain in their liver and things like that. I guess they could start out by going to the health food store and getting and starting that way. And then in the meantime, finding a homeopath in their area or working with you guys to move further. But that might be a good place to start, right? Just go to your health food store and get some sort of homeopathic?
You could do that. I mean, I highly recommend that you look at getting homeopathic of liver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes called hepatinum.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be called liver.
How do you get that?
They might be available at the health food store.
Okay.
There are definitely many lines of them available, probably online. And, of course, I carry them, too.
Now, these would be from cow liver?
These would be different livers. They'll be talking about using them from different livers. Cow liver, beef liver. They're not going to be human liver.
Okay.
They're going to be, you know, different animal forms of liver. Could be chicken liver. Most of the time, porcine are pig organs are considered to be the closest to human.
Mm-hmm.
But in some instances, cow is considered closer to human. So it just depends upon what the organ actually is.
Now, is there an issue with, I'm just thinking of this, the homeopathics with the liver? I've always heard liver is associated with anger, but then you guys are also saying that it has a lot to do with lack in someone's life. And so is there an issue homeopathically with any energetics of the animal being in the liver?
Are you concerned about the fear or whatever during the slaughter?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of anything emotionally that might be going on with the animal. Because obviously with a human liver, you wouldn't want to, you know, that might be kind of strange. But with an animal, is there any carryover there?
You know, it's interesting. There probably is, Justin, to answer that question.
Uh-huh.
So you want to have, you know, animals that are humanely slaughtered. And typically when it comes to homeopathics, that's something that homeopaths are very aware of.
I would imagine, yeah.
So, you know, that would be part and parcel of having something actually made into a homeopathic remedy. Because realize it takes only a tiny little amount of actual liver to probably make, you know, 100,000 bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even take a whole liver, you know. I mean, it probably would take a quarter of a cup of liver to make 100,000 bottles of homeopathic liver.
Yeah, because especially if you're talking about the 50,000 dilution. Yeah.
Typically, you don't do a 50,000 C dilution of liver because you're trying to be much more physical. You're trying to educate on a physical level.
Oh, okay.
With homeopathic liver. So you're going to use a lower potency, like a 3C, a 6C. But even at 3C, there is no physical substance left of the original product.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. After the third dilution, there's nothing left.
Yeah. Of the physical.
Oh, the physical. Yeah.
According to Ablinger's law. Yeah.
Wow. That is so interesting.
Yeah, you can't find any, you wouldn't be able to find any liver in an electron microscope if you were to take a homeopathic of a 3C.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what else would someone want to consider with their liver on an energetic? I like what you're saying about the Osira and this and the homeopathics. This is just, I think this would be a great help for people.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that, you know, every homeopathic remedy runs so deep. And one of the classic remedies, like for the liver, is called lycopodium.
Mm-hmm.
And lycopodium is a right-sided remedy. Almost all the symptoms are on the right side. And, of course, that's where the liver is located.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages of just pure discussion about what's called approving of lycopodium. So here's what you want to understand when you're working with a homeopathic remedy. In the beginning, Hanuman took a little bit of a substance, a physical substance, gave it to people who would be willing to write down all their symptoms for taking it.
Okay.
All right? And he started first with cinchona bark. And cinchona bark was a bark that was known to cure malaria in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got his hands on some of this. And he took some and had a group of his friends over, and they all took it together. And all of them ended up with symptoms of malaria. Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, that is interesting.
And he said, I wonder if I'm being shown a law of healing. That which will cause an illness in a healthy person will show us what it will cure.
Hmm.
And he said, I'm a scientist. I'm going to either prove myself right or prove myself wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it. And so he found 1,000 people who would be willing to play with him. They all took the cinchona and they all started writing down the symptoms. And he called this approving. And if 1,000 out of 1,000 people had a symptom, he would give that the nomenclature 3.
Okay.
If 500 to 999 people got the symptom, he would call it a 2. And if 250 to 500 people got the symptom, he would call it a 1, and the rest he threw away.
Okay, okay.
And then he started creating these books called Materia Medicas. And the Materia Medicas are the reportings of these people about what happened when they took the remedy. And it didn't just work on one level, Justin. People's sleep was affected. Like with lycopodium, just to give you an idea, it starts out talking about how it affected their abdomens, their backs, their breasts, their chests, their ears, their eyes, their face. For women, how it affected their menses, for what foods they changed their appetite for, their head, their hair, their heart, kidneys, limbs, liver, lungs. For men, their sexuality, mouth, nose, rectum, sensations, skin, sleep, stomach, temperature, throat, and vertigo.
Wow.
So all things that were profoundly affected by taking lycopodium.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that's why I'm saying this gets really complex.
Yeah, it's very deep.
Yeah. And like somebody who, there's what they call keynotes for each of these remedies. And like one of the keynotes for lycopodium is somebody who always wants to have somebody in the house, but they don't necessarily want to talk to them, be with them, play with them, spend time with them. Just want them there.
Okay.
Okay. They're somebody that they tend to be, you know, like if they're just kind of sitting around, their mouth might hang open.
Uh-huh.
You know, just when they're kind of spacing out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of their little keynotes. They tend to get chills between 3 and 4 p.m. in the day.
Hmm.
That's another kind of unusual little thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these unique little parts, but the key thing for lycopodium is everything always starts on the right side. It might move to the left, but it begins on the right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you just go looking for these remedies as best you can.
So it might end up on the left side, but it begins in the right.
Uh-huh. So everything starts on the right. So you might get an earache on your right side, and then it might go to the left.
Okay.
And you might also tend to get, you know, aches in your right fingers, but eventually that you end up with aches in your left fingers as well.
Oh.
But everything always starts on the right.
Now, why is that?
It's just something unique to lycopodium.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And there's a classification of all right-sided remedies. So there's probably like 40 remedies in the Materia Medicas that are all right-sided remedies. Then there's remedies that are left-sided remedies that start on the left and may go to the right, but they always start on the left.
Hmm.
So it's just, and when we start talking recall healing language, depending upon whether you're right or left-sided, right means typically, you know, the male energy, and left is typically the female energy if you're right-handed.
Okay.
So, I mean, it just goes, it's really interesting how it all works that way. And for some people, they tend to get pains that start in their feet and move upward. And other people, they tend to get pains that start in the head and move downward. And head is more things that started with father.
Mm-hmm.
And feet is more things that started with mother.
Isn't that fascinating? I wonder why that is. Okay.
So, and this was recognized in homeopathy as well as in recall healing. So we start looking for these kinds of things. I mean, I'm just constantly in awe of the connections between the two.
Between homeopathy and recall healing?
Yeah.
I would imagine, yeah, because both are almost on the same level, aren't they?
Well, they can work at that level.
Uh-huh.
A well-chosen remedy does have the possibility of making the same kinds of deep DNA shifts that we see with recall healing.
Wow.
In my experience. I mean, that's my conjecture anyway. I can't prove it, but that's what I'm seeing and feeling and excited to play with and explore.
So what other energetics are available to the liver? I'm sure there's a million.
Well, when it comes to homeopathic remedies, there is a gazillion, but let's talk about some things that you and I and anybody else that we know could do for themselves homeopathically.
Okay.
So let's say that you have a runny nose and you could take it's kind of a little disgusting to some people, but you could take a drop of, you know, your exudate from your nose, mucus, and to that drop of that, put it in a little container with 99 parts of water. Tap it 100 times, make 1C out of it, and then make, you know, like up to a 6C. It gets to be a bit much to do more than a 6C.
Mm-hmm.
But a 6C can be effective on something that's physical and having to do with your own body, and that will match your mucus perfectly.
Okay. So I can see how that would that would be effective, just because you're doing the homeopathic, but the source of it is your own mucus.
Right. So talk about a perfect similimum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the language right there.
So how long would it take someone to do that, do you think, to make a 6C?
10 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay. That's not too bad.
No. No, you don't have to sit there and tap like that. You can tap.
Ah, okay. And so someone could do this in a few minutes, and they could do this, I guess, with any kind of cold or flu, you know, mucus coming from that as well.
Yeah, and somebody has an ear infection. I mean, you could take a little bit of that earwax or, you know, or if it's suppurating and you have some blood and pus, it's even more powerful.
Uh-huh.
And there are many people that do this with urine.
Uh-huh.
Homeopathic remedies with their urine. There's some people that just drink it straight, but you can also do a homeopathic of urine. And there are people who even will do it with feces, but they take it pretty far.
Wow. How many times would you have to dilute that?
Well, 3C, there's nothing physical left anymore. So, I mean, 6C is probably pretty safe.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay. Now how does that work with something that's not, like you said, like if someone had a scab or a piece of earwax that's not necessarily a liquid?
Mm-hmm. So you could mash it and get it liquid enough. Mix it with, if you needed to, with a little bit of alcohol.
Okay.
Like potato... vodka.
Can you do it with any kind of alcohol, or is that just the best?
Well, the two that have always been recommended to me were potato vodka and Everclear.
Okay.
And Everclear lost its popularity because it's a grain.
Oh, right.
So probably about 10, 15 years ago, I went from using Everclear to potato vodka.
Where would one get this? Get potato alcohol or vodka?
I think I bought potato vodka at Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and any potato vodka you can get for sure, and it's very inexpensive, whereas other vodkas are quite expensive. You can get a very inexpensive potato vodka at probably any liquor store.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
It was so funny because, you know, every now and again, I had a neighborhood liquor store, and I would walk in there and buy potato vodka.
they had no idea what you're doing with it.
I know. It was really cute.
Yeah, that's funny.
That was particularly in the days when I didn't drink anything. So, you know, it was really, really, really funny.
Wow. Okay. So they can use potato alcohol, and then they could do like a 6C and try to mash whatever it is. You know, if there's a scar, scab, or something like that, they could.
Leave a tiny bit of it, the alcohol, sitting with the, if it was, you know, an actual scab. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would use a scab. I think I might want to try and use a little bit of like the serum-y stuff underneath it or something.
Okay.
You don't need much. It's not like you know, you have to hurt yourself to get this.
Okay.
And, you know, if you do have something that's pussy, that's really easy, just a tiny drop.
You don't need much at all. Okay.
No, not at all.
Because you're really just diluting it out anyway, but it's really the energetics of it.
It's the information from it that we're looking for.
Wow. Okay. So explain once again, because I know people were probably listening to that beginning part and didn't quite get the ratio of the alcohol to the water and all that.
Okay. So if you want to make an X, you're going to always be trying to get 10 altogether. So if you have one drop of your original substance, you'll add 9 drops of alcohol.
Okay.
That's going to give you a much more physical acting remedy.
Okay.
If you want a C remedy, which is 100, which is going to be more subtle and tend to work also a little bit more deeply on the emotional level.
Okay.
Then you're going to want to do one part of the original substance and 99 parts of the alcohol. I mean, 99 parts of water.
Oh, 99 parts of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so would you be putting, like, what kind of container would you put this in? Because I've never done this myself, so.
Yeah, I buy the little tincture bottles.
Okay.
I have lots of them anyway because I make so many different things. So I have ounce bottles, 2-ounce bottles, 4-ounce bottles. I even have some half-ounce bottles, but I would always make it at least an ounce.
Okay.
If it's just going to be from an exudate from yourself, rather than making it from an herb or something else, I would go ahead and use an ounce bottle.
Okay. And so then you would do, so where does the alcohol come into to there? Let's say you're going to do 100x or 100 drops.
Yeah. The only reason why you would need alcohol is to protect it from going bad. So like when I make the LM remedy, I put in 15 drops of alcohol in a bottle of water just to keep it from going bad and growing any bacteria.
In a 1 ounce bottle?
In a 4 ounce bottle.
In a 4 ounce bottle, 15 drops. Okay.
Yeah. And when it comes to a homeopathic, if you're going to be making one of an exudate, you're not going to be taking that for long, so you don't need to worry much about that breaking down. So, you know, unless you're going to be taking it a whole bunch of places, you don't really even need any alcohol. You can just do it with water.
Okay, so it's just pure, the purest, cleanest water you can get.
That's right. And we're not, I mean, I guess you could use distilled water if you wanted to, but ideally it's a really clean spring water, artesian well water, something like that.
Okay, so
bottled in glass, not in plastic.
Let's say it's a little drop of blood or something from a scab.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do one drop of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
99 parts of water.
99 drops of water.
Uh-huh.
99 drops of water. And then you put that into maybe a 1 ounce container?
You could, yep, because you won't need more than that to do 99 drops.
Right. Okay. And then, so how much of the 1 ounce would that fill, do you think?
Not very much.
Okay. And then the rest you would fill it up with what?
Actually, that's, you don't fill it up with anything yet.
Oh, okay.
That's your 99 drops.
I see. Okay.
You're going to tap that 100 times.
Okay.
And then you take another bottle.
Okay.
And you would take one drop from the first bottle, put that in the second bottle, put in 99 drops of water, tap that 100 times, and you could, which is what I do, dump out the first one,
mm-hmm.
and then take one drop from the second bottle and put it in your first bottle, which is now empty.
Mm-hmm.
I've washed it out, and I'm going to put one drop into that first bottle mm-hmm. again, and 99 parts of water. And tap that 100 times, and that makes my third,
your third dilution.
My third C, okay. So it's a 3C. And then the second bottle that I made, I'm going to dump that out, rinse it out real well, and then take a drop from the first bottle that I had, which is now the third bottle,
mm-hmm.
and put a drop in there, add 99 parts of water. So you can do this with just two bottles. You don't have to get a whole, you know, bunch of bottles.
Yeah, you can just go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Until you get to where you want to be. And then when you've got your last remedy, you could put in, you know, 20 drops of alcohol if you want. And if you want to, you could fill the bottle up, shake it real well, and then take a dose like a dropperful.
Okay, so let's say you got that 1 ounce container and you got the 100 drops in there, 99 of which were the water and one was originally one drop of the original substance.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that fills up half of that 1 ounce container. When you said fill it up, what would you fill it up with?
Water.
Water. And then you could add, you said, like 15 drops of alcohol if you'd like.
Yeah, and if you're going to keep it around for a long time for some reason, then I would actually put in about a quarter of the bottle's worth.
In alcohol.
In alcohol, and then it'll last indefinitely.
Okay, and then so you put that little quarter ounce of the alcohol in there, and then what's remaining you can fill up with water.
Mm-hmm.
And then that could be a full 1 ounce homeopathic solution
mm-hmm.
of whatever you're doing.
Right. And yeah. I would start taking, the first time I took it, I probably would take a dropper full, which would be about 15 drops.
Okay.
And see how that feels. I mean, when I say a dropper full, it never fills all the way up to the top. It'll just usually pull up about 15 drops worth when you squeeze the top of
okay.
a dropper.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's how you can make your own remedies for whatever's going on for you.
Now we can talk about this in the future. There's ways to put these things on energetic devices and ramp them up even further, but that's probably a subject for another day.
Yeah, you certainly can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're coughing, if you cough up something, you could do that. I mean, there's just so many different things that you can use
mm-hmm.
of your own body to
now.
Help heal yourself. Then another thing you can do is you can take any herbal tincture that's actually been good for you. And you can take one drop of the herbal tincture and either 9 or 99 drops of water and make a homeopathic remedy of the herbal tincture that's been good for you.
Okay.
And that will, first of all, extend it, but it will also take it into a deeper spiritual, emotional level as well as physical.
So you can do this with any sort of liquid type thing you're doing.
That's right. Anything that you feel is helpful, but you want to take it deeper.
And make it last longer. I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, if the day comes, I hope not, that we aren't going to be able to get a hold of our favorite things anymore, we can actually make homeopathics of the ones we have.
Okay. Now, could this be done with the minerals and things like that, liquid minerals and things?
Absolutely.
Because it's all liquid, right? You can do it with any liquid.
Mm-hmm. But you can also do it with something that's not liquid if it dissolves, especially.
Okay.
Like minerals, like supplements, like whatever.
Now, would there be something that people could make as a homeopathic that they could put topically on top of their liver?
You can, but there's no need to.
Okay.
And the reason is that this is a communication with your autonomic nervous system. It's not about a physical effect.
I see. Okay. Yeah, we're not. Okay. That makes sense.
Now, sometimes if I have people that are super sensitive, they can't handle any alcohol and they have a remedy that's got alcohol in it, I'll put it in their navels, especially like babies with autism or serious diseases, digestive issues.
Okay.
I'll just put it in their little navels or I'll rub it into their arm.
Okay.
Like their inner arm.
Uh-huh.
And the remedy will still seep in and they'll still get the information.
Okay. Fascinating stuff.
Yep. And if people are super sensitive, I'll just have them smell it.
Okay. And then by smelling it, it's getting into their nervous system, right? And their whole body.
Yeah, the frequencies will get in.
So many things you can do for your liver, isn't there?
Well, what we're talking about right now is going far beyond the liver, sweetheart. What we're talking about is things you can do with any for any organ in your body.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, we're talking about the energetics, like how to play with energetic medicine,
uh-huh.
Not just physical, so that we can take anything that is physical that we know is helping us
mm-hmm.
and see if it might be even more beneficial if we make it energetic as well.
I like that. And it's a great way to get in the kitchen and work with your herbs and make things last longer and go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's beneficial on so many levels.
It really is. It really is.
Wow. Is there anything else that we should share about energetics in the liver?
Well, we could go on. I could talk about specific, like, gemotherapies that are great for the liver.
Okay.
So let me just pull that book up.
Yeah.
I had it opened and it's in the other room. So let's take a little break.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you found the book.
I did.
Okay.
So, what I just grabbed is a book that talks about different types of energetic drainage.
Uh-huh.
And here's one of the remedies that they're talking about. It's Cardus Marianus, which okay. I really love. And I find it particularly beneficial for the whole liver gallbladder area.
Okay.
So here's some, remember we talked about keynotes?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, reading you 7 pages of people's experience of doing the similimum, you know, doing the actual proving of it, I'm going to give you a quick little rundown on it. So when somebody has a sensation of fullness or soreness in their liver area,
mm-hmm.
or they're worse lying on their right side or with pressure on the right side, and that pain causes them to take a deep breath, kind of,
mm-hmm.
it hurts, and pain or stitches in the right side, they say in the hypochondrium, which means just below the stomach.
Okay.
Sometimes with dizziness or bad taste in the mouth, and when the skin gets jaundiced or yellow. And it's also when there's an extremely painful attack in the gallbladder, and the gallbladder is distended, and that's also on the right side coming towards the middle.
Okay.
If anybody's ever had a gallbladder attack, they'll know what we're talking about. And that pain also tends to be in the go into the back in the shoulder blade area.
Okay.
On the right side. And they're talking about extremely painful attacks of the gallbladder with distension in that area. So it's sometimes it's a hard distension and feels swollen and painful to pressure.
Okay.
So also, if you've been diagnosed with liver cirrhosis,
and
when people experience nausea that is increased when you touch the liver area, the liver also needs cardus marianus if it's enlarged in going across it, so like from the side all the way to the middle of the body. And when the left lobe is more involved, so there's a couple of lobes of the liver, and if the left lobe is more involved than the right lobe, it tends to respond really well to cardus marianus. So there's all these special things. I mean, it does get kind of boring when you just sit here and read it all, but I just want you to get an idea that each remedy has its specifics. So I happen to have a software, most homeopaths do these days, where we can interview you and get your specific symptoms and then put it all together and look for the remedy.
Now, would someone have to be in person to do this?
I do it over the phone with people a lot.
Over the phone, okay.
And, you know, you can always ship homeopathic remedies. That's not a problem. You can mail them.
And so you can do this over the phone with someone and then get down to the root of where they're feeling the pain and how often and really kind of getting a handle on what's going on. And then from there, you can move forward with specific things for people.
Yeah. Like, let's say somebody, you know, called with about five different symptoms. Like I'm thinking of a woman that I worked with today, and she started out with allergies to oak, and she had to start out with a watery, runny nose and watery, runny eyes, and that remedy that worked really well for her is a, and she was sneezing a lot, was homeopathic onion.
Oh, okay.
Allium sepa, because if you were to cut an onion, 1,000 out of 1,000 people would get burning, stinging eyes, so watery, runny eyes. 500 out of 999 would have a watery, runny nose, and 250 to 100 would end up with sneezing.
Okay.
So those were perfect, but she also had waking at 5 in the morning, and with asthma, and difficulty catching her breath. And coughing, having coughing fits, like she'd have 2 or 3 fits of coughing intensively. Now, there were about 15 remedies that all had those symptoms. But she's tall and thin. So I looked for a remedy that had tall and thin. And she also is somebody who is very philosophical and has a real deep spiritual interest and wants to get underneath to the spiritual reasons and the philosophical reasons about everything. And she really is not interested in the mechanics of stuff. So that happens to fit, all those symptoms happen to fit with sulfur.
Oh, okay.
So she came in and I gave her an LM1 of sulfur. And while she was sitting here, she said her symptoms got better by about 20%. She could breathe better, and she didn't cough any longer while she was here for the next 45 minutes or so.
And that was just a homeopathic?
Just a homeopathic of sulfur.
Wow, just one thing.
Yeah. That's how homeopathics work. I mean, they're really very powerful that way.
Wow.
So the thing with homeopathy is you spend your money on the time it takes for the homeopath or naturopath or doctor to find your remedy. The remedies are not expensive, and they typically change up maybe once every few months. So you're doing a check-in just to see how you're doing, as long as everything's good.
Okay. So it's really just that investigative work that you're talking about, for just to find what's going on and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
part is quite interesting and quite a challenge.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, wow. Is there anything else we should cover, do you think? Or do you want to save anything else for another show on the liver? Or what do you think?
Well, I think we talked enough about GMOs. We didn't talk specific GMOs on the liver. So unless you feel like there's a real need to go through the specific GMOs, the thing is it can get a little boring because it's kind of like reading symptoms again,
just
did with Cardius Marianos when we start looking at the different liver GMOs. Although to me, each one of them is interesting, fascinating, and exciting. It's just like reading a dictionary.
Right. Okay. Well, let's let people contact you through the website and work with you specifically that way.
I'd love that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks, Meridian. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Justin.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.